Well, hello, and welcome to Stirring the Pot. You're listening to us live or on a podcast from KVSH LP Vashon Island, Washington. I'm Linda Nygaard, and I'll be your host today. In the studio with me are Celine Demir. Hello, Celine.
Well, hello, Linda.
And Heidi Skrypek.
Hello there.
Hi, Heidi. Both of these kitchen mavens, as I call them, keep this show running for me, that's for sure. It just seems like it's been a long time. It's a whole new year now. Yeah. Happy New Year. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Gosh, I can't believe it's crazy. Already the second week of
January. I know. And this is the first year in a long, long time that I haven't had any trouble writing the new year. Like, you know, you write 2025 7,000 times during the year. And usually it's you do it by mistake.
Uh-huh.
And this year, it's just, I'm so ready to get on to 2026 for some reason.
Impressive.
Yeah. So I haven't forgotten what year it is yet. We're already 2 weeks in.
You're in good shape.
Yeah, we are. So let's get caught up. I haven't seen either one of you in quite a while. And just wondering how, let's do a little quick recap of the holidays. Just a little, you know. Mm-hmm. So what happened to you, Celine?
Our holidays were a little quiet.
Were they?
Because Alara was house sitting, mm-hmm. so she wasn't at home much. Mm. And Arda was working, mm-hmm. so he didn't come home. So we did our little holiday celebration a week before.
Oh, that's right.
He came over and then spent like 4 days at home. And then mm-hmm. we kind of did our cooking and, mm-hmm. and such that mm-hmm. then. And then a New Year's was just very, very quiet, which it's usually not like. That I mean, last year you were with us for
we made burek. Yeah,
this year I didn't make that for mm-hmm. the first time in many, many years, which I'm like, how did I not make that? But mm-hmm. you know, it didn't feel like it, and that's okay.
Yeah I get that.
How
are yours, Heidi?
It was good. My in-laws have moved in.
Oh, that's right,
so we spent it with them.
Yeah. It looked like you were having a big feast.
Well, Thanksgiving was massive.
Yeah. I saw those pictures too. Yeah.
So it was good.
It's nice. Really nice. Yeah. Mine was good too. We had, I had visitors when my brother who lives in Montana was at, in Hawaii for the holidays. And he and his wife decided to come via Seattle on their way back to Montana.
Wow.
So they stopped on Vashon and we had a couple of days. They stayed in Joe and Evan's Airbnb for a couple of days and we toured around. And, you know, it was funny because Rita loves to explore and she loves to drive. So I didn't drive. And so I was the passenger. She took me places on this island where I've never been.
What? What are you missing? What happened?
Well, you know, I mean, I had been down Burma Road.
Yeah.
Which is windy and, you know, it's a beautiful little drive. And you feel like you're in primordial land.
Totally.
But then there's some offshoots on that road that go to these wondrous places where people actually live, you know. And I just had never been down in there. And we toured mostly around the middle and the north. And we didn't get too much done in the south end of the island. But we ate some good food. We had some good time. And then the three of us on New Year's Eve went to Seattle to spend it with my son and his wife.
Oh, nice.
And so we were all together and we had a big, lovely dinner and we ate a wonderful seafood thing.
Mm.
And,
oh, cool.
You know, it was just, and it was all very laid back. I mean, there was no stress. Mm-hmm. Nobody was upset.
Good.
We chose not to do any gifts. We didn't do gifts.
Wow.
And that kind of, well, their gift was their holiday in Hawaii.
Yeah,
they were there for
a big gift. Yeah.
Well, they were gone for 3 weeks, so they, you know, it was a big long vacation. And I just didn't care anymore. You know, I just don't really care anymore, mm-hmm. and I don't need any more stuff.
Yeah, good.
Nobody does.
No.
So we celebrated by having great food and good camaraderie. Mm-hmm. We played some games, and it was very laid back. Yeah,
good.
But maybe Celine, maybe we can do Burek another day.
Maybe
like a January or a February thing.
Or maybe January 25th.
Maybe. We'll see.
You know,
we'll
see. Sometime. I don't know. Or maybe February if you want. Whenever you want.
Well, it's when you want to do it. Because as I remember when we made it last year, you have to be in the mood and it has to be the right thing. Because if you're cranky and don't want to do it, it's not going to work.
But hey, I can't be cranky when you're around.
Oh, sweet.
We'll have fun.
That's very nice.
We would.
So, we've been talking about soup. I've been making a lot of soup lately. It's been so cold.
Oh gosh, yes.
And it's just been so good. And then I was, you know, going down the rabbit holes on the web and found out earlier today that it's National Soup Month. And that just kind
of
makes
course.
Yeah. And we'd been talking about doing a show about soup, and you know, I kind of have to laugh because there's national something every month.
Oh yeah.
And there's
if
lots
it's not
of,
every day.
Every
right?
day there's a new, oh, did you know it's this kind of a month? No, it was that month. No, but everybody has something. So anyway, it's National Soup Month. And so we're quite timely with our subject matter here.
Perfect. Oh yeah.
And I thought one of the interesting things that we could talk about is where the term soup came from.
Mm. Okay.
It came from Latin, supa, which meant soaking bread in broth. And they, you know, if you think about, a lot of soups have bread in them, and you know, like French onion soup and those kinds of things. And soup started out with soaking bread in broth, and it wasn't a big vegetable thing, and it wasn't a creamy thing. It was just a subtle nourishment.
Yeah.
And then, so I'm also a fan of archaeology, anything archaeology, and I've been watching a lot of YouTube videos on archaeology.
Yeah.
And I discovered that archaeologists have discovered a 20,000-year-old soup bowl in China.
Oh, my goodness.
No kidding. In China.
Wow.
It's a province that I can't say. It might Jiangrengdong in
good
a cave.
Job. Wow.
And the ancient pottery showed scorch marks. Suggesting the fire.
Yeah.
And while that is the earliest example of a soup bowl, archaeologists also know that the Neanderthals simply dug a hole and put a lining of an animal skin in it.
Oh my goodness.
And then they put water in it. And the way that they heated it was to put hot rocks in it. So they'd have rocks in the fire.
Mm.
And then they put hot rocks in it. And they put the bones and the marrow in there. And that was their soup.
Oh.
And, you know, they see that. And then after the Roman Empire had a, you know, their heyday about 500 years ago, they brought the recipe home from Southern Spain for gazpacho 500 years ago.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, soup's been around a long time.
Yeah.
In the 7th century, the Chinese were developing one of their mainstay soup ingredients. It's called wantan, W-A-N-T-A-N, and which means shallow cloud. And
shallow
so today
cloud.
It is wonton.
Wonton soup. Yeah.
Wonton.
Sure.
And then, Celine, I don't know if you know this or not, but in Turkey in 476 AD, once the Roman Empire collapsed, soup survived in the Byzantine Empire centered in Constantinople. And so with the fall of the Ottoman Turks in 1454, the soups of Central Asia became the influence in European culture, especially Turkey.
Oh, very cool. Well, that's interesting. I did not know that.
And the Turks, of course, concentrated a lot on vegetables.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, that's your history lesson for the day.
And spices, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Lots of spices.
I wonder if they put nigella seeds in there.
No. I've never seen a soup with nigella seeds.
No, I haven't either.
But I'm stuck on the Neanderthals after all of that.
Yeah.
I'm trying to picture this pit with an animal skin lining it. And then the hot stones, they must have had to use sticks to transfer to, out
yeah,
of the
how
fire,
did they do that?
The I don't, process.
I don't know.
But it makes sense. Like, you think of a hot pot. Or, you know, when you go to like a pho restaurant and the stuff comes hot and then you just put the meat in and then it cooks the meat, just the heat. And I'm thinking about those Neanderthals. Yeah.
Well, you know, they were pretty smart people, and they lived in a society that mimics the one we live in now.
Okay.
I'm learning a lot about it. I'm doing some reading, and I don't know enough to quote statistics or, you know, but what I'm learning is that history now, as we knew it, has changed because of the discoveries that the archaeologists have made lately about the Neanderthal society.
Love it.
And how different it was. So maybe one day I'll know more and I can speak more intelligently about it. But for today, no. Today, no.
That's so cool.
So, you know, soup has that feeling to it. Well, you're, Celine, you're doing Women Hold the Key.
Tonight, yes.
Has a soup night the first Tuesday of every month. And
second
you
Tuesday.
Host that. The what?
Second Tuesday.
Second Tuesday, sorry.
Yeah. Tonight's the night.
Tonight is the night. Yeah.
I told them that I could, you know, I do it right after the show. Mm-hmm. So it works out because I work from home on that day. So it works out perfectly. Yeah.
So, you know, I remember when that soup thing was a concept that we talked about a couple of years ago, and I used to host it with Celine, and I sort of bogged. I haven't done it lately, but it was that feeling of the wintertime and everybody's cold and everybody's alone, really. I mean, we're all sort of sequestered down.
Yeah.
And the idea of a little small community gathering of soup and soup makers. So you host it, but other people bring soup as well, right?
Yeah, sometimes.
Usually,
sometimes.
So tell us what you made for tonight.
So for tonight, I made one vegan soup, and that is a new recipe for me that I learned in Instagram reel that somebody was talking about it, and it was kind of an interesting. It's called spinach head soup.
Spinach head?
That's what
H-E-A-D?
When you translate, when you translate it, it was the spinach head soup, which we're like, what? And so it's that, the pinkish, almost root-looking part of the spinach.
Yep.
So that's what they use because while they're using the rest of the spinach for something else, zero waste.
Yep.
And this recipe is from Adana, which is the southern Turkey on the Mediterranean coast. But Adana is known for its kebab, like very heavy meat, heavy recipes, like cuisine. So it was kind of an interesting to find a vegan recipe from that region. So, and then when she posted that, and I was reading the comments to see if this was like, did she really make this up? Mm-hmm. You know how that goes.
Yeah.
And all these people like, oh my God, I haven't seen this recipe since I was little.
Oh,
my grandma used to make this. Aww. My mom used to make this. This is such a great recipe. Oh, I'm going to make this. I was so surprised. So
cool.
Yeah. So it was really good. It has green lentils, garbanzo beans, onions, and carrots.
Wow.
And tomatoes and tomato paste. So you kind of saute them all, and then you add our vegetable broth or just water, however you want it. Mm-hmm. And then towards the end, you put those little spinach heads or the little bit of the stems of spinach. Mm-hmm. Well, I could not find a spinach head anywhere.
The grocery stores have them all trimmed so closely, don't they?
They didn't have it. I used to see them. So I was like, oh, I could do this because I used to see spinach that comes with it.
Damn.
I've been to one on island and one off island grocery stores, and none of them have it anymore. So I use the stems, but you know, it's okay. But it was just like, okay. And then I did a little twist to the recipe.
Of course.
Well, you know, me. I can't stick to the recipe. And because we were... Heidi's laughing.
Deviation. As per usual.
So we've been experimenting different recipes from Spain. So we got this sofrito seasoning. And so I just... Like, when I tasted the soup, it's just like, it needs a little bit of a jazz, like a little zazz or jazz or whatever you call it. And so I put a little bit of that sofrito seasoning, and it actually like completed for me. I tasted it afterwards and I'm like, okay, this is really good. And so I got excited about that. And then the other one is kapuska, which we talked about it last year as well. It's our family's winter favorite. It's cabbage stew with meat. And one. So I made that one too. So I have one meaty.
So tell me about the say the word again.
Kapuska.
Kapuska.
Kapuska is you saute your onions and your meat and tomato paste.
And do you use beef?
Yeah, I use beef.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you could use anything you want, I mm-hmm. guess. But I, for some reason, I've always had it with beef.
And is it ground beef or are you doing little chunks?
I do cubes.
Cubes.
Okay. When you look at it online, a lot of people use ground beef.
Okay.
I'm not a big fan of ground beef and cabbage. I don't know why.
It's a mouthfeel thing.
I mean, the cabbage rolls are different. Yeah. I love that.
Okay.
But like kind of in that.
In the soupy thing.
In that stew, it didn't. Yeah. It doesn't go.
I wouldn't want floating ground beef kibbles in mine either.
No, I wouldn't either.
I think that's the thing. Ground beef kibbles. So I like it like small cubed meat. Mm-hmm. So I cut my beef chunks like small pieces. So it's like perfect with each, chunky piece. Mm-hmm. Some people cut their cabbages thin and small. I do them like large, like almost like an inch cubes.
Okay.
So it's like a little bit more hearty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It just totally depends on how you like to eat your cabbage.
Good. That sounds so good.
Yeah.
That just sounds really good.
And I also read it somewhere that after you cut your cabbage and you put salt and then you smush it with your hands and massage it and let it sit for a couple hours or overnight, it actually starts that fermentation and it
does
taste so much better.
That's
really
how I prepare sauerkraut to start.
It goes really well for this one too.
Amazing.
And then I put it in everything in a Dutch oven and then I put it in my oven to cook slowly for I mean, this thing cooked like almost 3 hours today.
Does it start with a lot of liquid that reduces or not?
Not too much, but like enough to kind of wilt the cabbage, but I don't have a lot of juice. Like I don't like it too much juicy.
So it's not a real brothy soup.
It's more. But it's so good.
That cabbage gets all melty. So good.
So delicious.
Cabbage is kind of an unsung hero still.
Isn't it?
A lot of people don't like
embrace the cabbage. Yes, embrace the cabbage. It. You know, we could do a whole show on cabbage.
Oh my gosh,
we should do that.
Revering the cabbage.
Yeah. I think that would be a great show.
It would be.
Yeah,
okay.
Let's think about that.
We'll put that in the hopper.
Before it gets too warm, though, because cabbage is usually winter.
So we're putting a pin in it. But I do want to talk about really quick. So are there action steps or what's the exclusivity of tasting your soups this evening?
You got to be a female.
Okay.
That's all.
Okay. And then you have to go to Women Hold the Key at what time?
Between 5 and 6:30.
There you go.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, it's really nice. And it's just, you know, sometimes it's very few people and sometimes it's a full house you know, people just show up and have soup and it's an hour and a half. It's very, very nice.
This would be a really good time to take a quick little station breaky poo.
Okay. Thank you to our sponsors.
We always need to say thank you to our sponsors.
Yes, we do.
We also need to say hello to some eyeglasses.
Oh!
Because this woman turned 57 years old and she can't see anything without her spectacular.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a situation, but you know how that
we
goes.
Have a situation here.
It's called blindness. Embrace it.
Cafe Little Cup. Featuring house-made bagels and Fioretta coffee, expertly roasted and prepared. Or enjoy wine by the glass and a baked treat in their Vashon Town Cafe. Don't forget grab-and-go specialty wines and pantry items on your way out. For hours of operation and to find out more, call 206-999-4742.
Support for Voice of Vashon is provided by Palouse Winery. Award-winning wines are available for tasting on their covered patio noon to 5 Friday through Sunday. For private event inquiries, to see the music schedule, or to make a reservation, visit PalouseWinery.com.
Mm-mm-mm. I like that Palouse Riesling.
Oh, are we back?
We are.
Oh, hi.
We're back.
So just in case you forgot, you're listening to Stirring the Pot on Voice of Vashon 101.9. So we've been talking about soup. Heidi, you've been busy in the kitchen too. What have you been doing?
Well, you know, there was that whole giant Thanksgiving turkey carcass that was stuck in the freezer for a while. Yeah. And then there were plenty of roasted chicken carcasses as well.
Carcassi. So,
carcassi. Carry on. Yeah. So lots of stock in my life. Mm. And I am one with the Instant Pot. And so that is how I typically do it, unless I have so much that it has to go in a giant witch's cauldron on my stovetop, which happens. So yes, much of that was happening in my kitchen in the past few weeks. And it's a joy because then that becomes a base to cook my dry beans, my lentils, all the things, and rice even. Just instead of water, I use the stock
it
for that.
It so enhances flavors of it. Yes. I like to cook green beans in stock.
You know,
when you're steaming, when you're kind of not steaming, but not really boiling either, but just instead of water. It just
blanching.
Makes such a, blanching. Thank
basically,
you.
Yeah. That's beautiful.
That's love how that. I made my kids. Because my kids never liked soup when they were little.
Oh.
Yes.
And then I would make pasta or rice with chicken bone broth.
Oh, that's it.
That's how I made them eat.
Yeah.
So good.
Because it tastes really amazing.
Yeah.
And it enhances the flavor so well.
It does. Mm-hmm. So Heidi, I'm curious about your stock because everybody has their own method for stock. It's sort of like the spaghetti sauce of the Italian families, you know, it's all a bit different. Yeah. And you gave me some stock about a year ago. It was probably about this time that you had frozen. Oh man, was it good. So tell me what you do and how you do it.
Well, for Instant Pot, it's 2 tablespoons of peppercorns, black peppercorns, and 1 or 2 bay leaves. I like to go big.
Big, yeah.
And then that and onion or shallot. If I have winter leeks hanging around the garden, I'll yank them out young and just throw them in. It's pretty easy.
Are you one of the ones, do you save your vegetable peelings and all of that for stock later so you freeze that and you can add that in?
It's a graveyard of vegetable leave behinds. But I was thinking for Celine too, when the garden happens in spring, when my spinach comes out, I'm going to do that very thing. I'm going to, I'll eat the greens, but I'm going to save the bases in a freezer bag and then you'll have them.
And then you'll have it for next winter.
Or you can make a soup for yourself too.
I may have to try the recipe. Yeah. I gotta need the recipe from
you. Yeah.
That's what's up.
So, in your Instapot, let's talk about on top of the stove.
Yeah.
Like, I knew a chef one time when I was working at a place, it doesn't matter, but it was a giant cauldron on top of the stove, like barely bubbling. Like, barely.
And it cooks
all night long.
The windows get foggy.
Yes, he left it on the stove all night long. It was a big commercial gas stove. Barely, tiniest little flame. And I don't know how big the pot was huge. And all night long. And man,
David brought a chef's pot into the household.
Did he?
When we united and coupled, and it is gigantor. It's professional.
Yeah,
and we just keep the hood going on a low vent because I have asthma, and that gas stove will trigger my asthma.
Sure.
Oh, wow. It's a real thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's exactly right. So on a stovetop, and then if I have carrots, I'll absolutely throw a few carrots in, or a winter squash just for some of the orange vegetable bits.
Do
that
you
go
use
in there.
The onion skins?
Yeah,
me too.
Yeah,
I was just going to ask that. Do you? Because I've seen some people put onions like as a whole. They just like chop it and then put it on.
And just put it in there.
And then we have all kinds of fancy straining devices. Mm-hmm. Like we have the little, is it called a chignon? No, that's a hairdo.
Chignon.
Chignon is the twist you put in the back of your hair.
That's a chignon.
Hooked on phonics. But it's so lovely. So then you just push it through and I'll grab whatever I have to shove it, like a ladle or a potato masher. Like, get down there.
You were going to say a potato.
No. But
well, that might work.
That's true, too. Yeah. So, it's joyful and, it's kind of whatever's on hand. But I just, it cooks down and it's so wonderful. And after swimming and you're cold, or you've been outside in the garden, you come in and just zap it and drink it. It's fabulous.
Well, I think that's probably what the Neanderthals were doing.
I'm a Neanderthal.
No, you're a Neanderthal, girl. Yeah. So, there's just something really heartwarming about making stock. Mm-hmm. And I have, do you ever use a bought, like store-bought stock?
No.
Yeah.
I do.
I do
when
too
we don't,
because
when
I don't.
We don't have it. But now that Ulrich is so into mm-hmm. making bone broth, mm-hmm. he has an interesting mm-hmm. way of doing it. Mm. He does them in pressure cooker.
Yeah, that's basically
that's the Instapot. Yeah. Yeah,
but like not slowly. He puts the pressure yeah. cooker.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's on like pressure cook that meat, the bones into like literally softens.
Wow.
For 10 hours or whatever gosh. In okay. pressure cooker. I couldn't believe it when he told me. And then he strains it. And then he goes like, when you strain it, there's not much bone left.
Isn't that amazing?
It's so amazing. And it was so delicious.
So good.
Silky probably.
Yeah.
So good.
And collagen in there.
Oh, I'm
we
sure.
We need it.
Yeah. I told him that. He's like, we have some oxtails in the mm-hmm. freezer, honey. Will you do that? Because, that would be really good too.
Yeah, it would be.
Yeah.
Ooh, oxtails.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oxtails used to be a thing that you bought when you didn't have any money.
Really? And now they're
and
so
have
expensive.
Have you looked at them now?
Yes.
Oh, my Lord.
So expensive.
They're so expensive because now they're trendy. You know, people have discovered oxtails.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they're really good.
And then the bone marrow that's in it mm-hmm. and all of that.
They're worth discovering, that's mm-hmm. for sure.
I mean, when Mom would get sick and she lived with us, she would send me to Ruby Brink to bring her bone broth home. That was her thing.
Yeah.
It's all about it.
Well, their bone broth is outstanding. Mm-hmm. It's really good. They probably have a few little tricks they know too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There you go,
Grace.
There's your hot tip.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I've been experimenting with some soups as well. You know, I absolutely adore Thai soups of any kind. Mm-hmm. Any kind. So I decided to, I think it was last week, I made some sweet potato Thai curry soup.
Mm-hmm. That is so good.
And it makes my mouth water just talking about it because it was so, so good. You know, a Thai curry can be thick. It doesn't have to be a soup. But this I made this a little soupier than mm-hmm. normal. And I used, for my batch, I used 2 cans of coconut milk instead mm-hmm. of just one.
Oh,
and I put way more sweet potatoes than you would think, you know. But there's something about coconut cream.
Oh yeah.
And the sweet potato melding together. There's something that's a sweet spot of savory. I just can't get over how good it was. And
it's so good.
It's so good. And so I made that. I was really happy with it. And it
did you ginger it up or lime leaf or lemongrass?
Come on,
you gotta give me the details.
Well,
what are you wearing?
It had everything you think it had in it. You know, it had some onions and it had some garlic. It had I made this one vegan. Mm-hmm. I usually put some chicken in it, but this one I just did vegetable broth and lots of fresh grated ginger.
Mm.
I don't know how I didn't measure it.
Did you say yellow curry?
I did a yellow one.
Yummy.
But, you know, one of my favorite things to do with that is to mix the red and the yellow.
Oh, you do?
And put them in the same curry.
Why not?
It's good. Yeah.
So do you bite a curry? Because I've never made.
I used to make my own curry paste.
Uh-huh.
And I took a class in Thai curry and how to learn how to make it. And yeah, I have a very funny story about that, but I'm not going to tell you right now.
Wait, save that for another show.
That's going to be another show, and it needs to be a completely different show. But anyway, it's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work.
And it's an all-day affair, mm-hmm. and it's exotic spices and things that are, you know, kind of hard to get a hold of.
Okay.
But I just buy those little jars. There's those little jars. Thai.
Taste of Thai.
They're very good.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have to try that.
I should have brought a box, but I don't. There's also a brand that comes in a square box, a very thin square box. And they have both Indian curry and Thai curry spices already mixed up and kind of pasty, you know, and so you use that. And then you learn, I think, by your own palate, how much to use.
Oh, okay.
In mine, I used the whole jar.
Oh, wow.
You know, I mean, it was pretty spicy.
You said 2 things of coconut milk, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that would make sense.
It was pretty spicy.
Offset it. You know? And it was still spicy.
Yeah, it was still spicy.
But, oh, man, was it good. And I'm really convinced that it has healing properties.
I
think I was feeling kind of blue, and I was just kind of, you know, Logie mm-hmm. with the January doldrums yeah. and mm-hmm. all the fun's over.
Mm-hmm. You know?
My life
so
is
good.
Ending.
No.
And then I started it. I thought, you know, I'm really hungry for Thai. And I'm telling you, it was as good as any Thai I've had in any restaurant. Mm. It was so good.
You put it over rice?
No, I don't okay. do that. You can.
Yes, I do.
Certainly. Certainly you can. I wasn't in the mood for rice, but very I good. Put kefir lime in it.
Yes.
And then when you serve it, I had some crushed peanuts that I put on the top and yeah. a big squeeze of lime.
And that sounds like living.
It was living.
I have to check that recipe out now.
I'll send it to you. Yes. Actually, I'm going to post
you're
it later.
You're going to post it, right?
Yeah. I'll post it later. Definitely. Also, it had spinach in it. Yes. Like chopped up spinach.
Always craving a little something green in mm-hmm. my curry, mm-hmm. my Thai curry, yep. and it'll be kale if yep. it isn't spinach or or even broccoli.
And sometimes I put a little fish sauce in it if I want a little more umami.
You kind of need to. Well, it would be rude not to.
It would be rude not to. But I haven't done it every time. I don't do it every time.
Okay.
But I did do it this time.
It definitely calls for a little patis.
Just that little thing, yeah.
Yes.
And then... the other thing that, do you know what mulligatawny is?
Mm-mm. I never heard of it.
Well, it's again,
tell us.
It's a Indian recipe. Well, mm-hmm. I don't know if you can say that it's Indian. It developed from when the Raj was, the Brits took over India.
Mm-hmm.
And the Brits had their, the way they always ate was they started with soup. And the Indians didn't have any soup. It's a, they just really, they weren't soup people. Oh. So they
awkward.
Had this. So what they did was they for their British mm-hmm. bosses,
yeah.
they watered down their main dishes.
Oh my goodness.
And made it look like soup.
Oh, brilliant.
And so one of their favorite dishes that they watered down was called Milagu Taneer, which translates to pepper water. And it's a southern Indian dish. And so, you know, the Brits never really knew any different. And so the way they garbled the language, it became mulligatawny.
Mulligatawny.
Yeah.
All right.
And it is a delightful soup. And I think that you would enjoy it very much, Celine. And I'm going to find the recipe.
Yeah. There's themes of what Celine was describing in hers, because it says it's known for its rich curry-flavored broth and hearty ingredients like lentils, vegetables, and chicken or lamb.
In what? Mulligatawny?
Yeah.
Oh, I've never used that. Yeah. In and it.
Oh, that's interesting.
Just like you said, pepper water.
Pepper water.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. So this is a combination of a lot of curry powder and then chicken broth, chicken, and you do the onion and the carrot and the thing like you do mm-hmm. with regular soup, but you know, and then the treat is, and this does have rice in it. And the treat for me is you cut up an apple and you put in it and you cut and you have raisins in it. And it's just the most delightful soup. It's a surprise. Every bite is a surprise. And you use coconut milk in it as well.
Wow.
And a little bit of thyme.
You know, I never cooked with coconut milk.
Oh, well, you're in for a treat.
That's something that I need to explore.
Yes.
Because I'm hearing from you a lot and I'm seeing a lot of mm-hmm. recipes yeah. that uses coconut milk. And in my mind, coconut milk is so sweet, but it's not.
Not
cooking coconut milk, right?
It's like not like cream.
Yeah. So I need to explore that.
Oh, yeah.
I think you do and you'll fall in love. And then you'll find that coconut milk is sort of like the mother of everything, because you'll find that you're putting it in other things.
Yeah.
Because it's creamy and it's delicious. The other thing that I like to do is my mouth is watering. I'm so sorry. Is an Indian based spicy soup. And you would do a curry, but it uses the Indian spices as opposed to the Thai spices. And you still use coconut milk in it, but it has tomatoes and garlic and bigger, bolder kinds of flavors in it. And it's red, you know, so it's a different take with the coconut milk. So
interesting.
I'll have you over for some. I'm in the mood to make it again. So I think we should do that. But anyway, I will post these two recipes. I don't know. We can, do you have your recipes online?
The Kapuska and the I created a little event for the Woman Hold the Key thing this time, mm-hmm. and I posted the recipes there. Try to see if anybody would be interested.
If they'd be interested.
So, yeah, but we can definitely copy and paste and put it in there, too.
I think we should, because it's easier if we just have a link, mm-hmm. and people can click on the link, and there it is, because, you know, all the typing that you have to do. And I make mistakes, and I did leave a key ingredient out of one recipe that I posted a while ago. And
well, I
got told about it.
Oopsie. I translate a lot of the recipes. So, I mean, I'm sure you can find the direct link.
Oh, I bet you do.
Because there's a lot of them in English too. But I try to keep the recipe the way I make it, mm-hmm. so that I get, mm-hmm. for example, the soup with the spinach head. Mm-hmm. I couldn't find it online to even translate. So I had to watch the reel multiple times to write down the ingredients, and she didn't give any measurements of anything, so I kind of had to come up with it. So I couldn't find, like, every time I put spinach head or the names, something completely different came out. I was like, this is so strange.
It's so interesting.
I'm
isn't
so surprised.
It?
Yeah. So I'm just going to stick with this and then just watch the reel, write it down. So I have them and I'm more than happy to send that over.
Okay. Yeah. That'd be great. Be great. You know, there's little tricks you can do with soup too, because sometimes kids get a little bored with it, or, you know, mm-hmm. it's some family members are like, oh, it's soup again. But garnishing soup is a really good trick, I think. You know, there's so many things you can do, like even just a little bit of creme fraiche or a little bit of sour cream, mm-hmm. or, you know, on anything. It makes it a whole new dish. Yeah. One thing that I don't know if you've heard of this or you like to do this, but you know how we love tomato soup and grilled cheese sandwiches. Mm-hmm. That's sort of like an American staple, right? Well, what I have done and what I did when my kids were little, and it was great fun, is make the grilled cheese sandwich, make the tomato soup, Campbell's, of course. And I always put milk in it instead of water, because I didn't like, I want cream of tomato soup. So then you have your grilled cheese sandwich and you cut it up into little tiny squares and you dump the grilled cheese sandwich in the soup bowl.
Of course.
And it's so good that way.
Nice.
You know, and that's a different kind of treat, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Or the grating the cheese over the top of some kind of soup, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah.
There's always, or add a little crunch with some peanuts or some different kinds of nuts.
Yeah, could be a crouton.
Croutons.
Could be a scattering of cilantro if you don't hate cilantro.
If you don't hate cilantro. I know,
or
some
parsley.
People do. Some
I'll
people
put
do.
Italian parsley. How's that?
There you go. That's perfect.
I do like cilantro in salsa and in some of the Mexican food, though. I'm not going to pick out, I'll eat it. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, I will never go and grab it from the grocery store.
I'm missing out.
I love cilantro, but I don't really, I use it in Thai food for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was thinking Mexican, and I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't put it in salads, though.
No, we don't either.
Mm-mm. Yeah. But I do like it. I do like it. You know, do we need to take another break? Let's take another break.
That would be good.
Why not? We'll thank our sponsors.
We have good underwriters, and it would be a crying shame to deny them their airtime.
This portion of VOV programming is brought to you by Minglement, Vashon Island's natural marketplace for the conscious consumer, where owners, staff, and customers alike embrace the importance of natural, organic, and non-GMO food and products, along with supplements, tinctures, gifts, bulk teas, spices, and herbs. Find them at Center, where the town of Vashon originated.
Voice of Vashon thanks Windermere Real Estate for its support making our community information programming and our emergency alert service possible. Find them on the web at WindermereVashon.com.
We're back and we have 20 quality minutes to spend with you.
Oh, wonderful. I hope it's enough time.
Oh,
you know, one thing we haven't talked about is miso.
Ooh, let's do.
Do you like miso soup?
Yes. And I have a white miso base that is just
And is so it, good. Does it come in like the little cottage cheese container looking thing?
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
It was expensive.
Yeah.
It was like $12,
mm-hmm.
but it lasts for months in the fridge.
You just put it in the fridge and it lasts forever.
Yeah.
So I've not made miso soup myself.
Me neither.
I love it. I love to eat it.
It's like just add water.
It's just add water, isn't it? So basically. Easy, yes. And maybe some little chunks of tofu if you want.
You should. Yeah.
And a little green onion.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And at Wajimaya, they sell soup bases like crazy amounts of these little packets. Mm-hmm. They're all freeze dried. So yeah. There's a little, they can't for camping.
And they're good. I bet yes. They're good.
Yes.
Speaking of a Wajimaya.
Tell me.
It's going in. There's Tacoma. A new. In Tacoma. Oh. There's going to be a Wajimaya in Tacoma. I can't wait.
That's awesome.
I guess a long time ago, decades ago, they were there. And then they left.
Oh, and then they left.
So it's a welcome back.
Well, it'll be easier for me to get to.
Yeah.
Than going to the one in Seattle.
Oh, man. Okay.
It's so hard to get
favorite
into the downtown.
Yes.
I know. It is anymore.
But the food court. Oh, so good.
Oh, it's so good.
They have roasted duck. Am I going to go to HELL for talking about that? I love
about roasted duck?
Yeah.
Oh, I love roasted duck.
And they have it like in a to-go thing for $14.
There's a place on 3rd and Cooch in Portland that has those ducks hanging in the window, and I cannot go by without buying them. And they'll chop them up for you if you want them, or they'll give them to you whole, however you want. Oh, my God.
Golden nice. And glistening.
It's just the best. It's just the best. Duck soup.
let's talk about that.
I don't know about duck soup. I've never made it. I only know that that's a
is it a thing?
Marx Brothers movie.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
called Duck Soup.
That's funny. Oh, gosh.
And you know, anyway,
it's got to be a thing.
All
right, we'll look at that.
So anyway, miso.
Yeah.
The Japanese obviously have a big portion of their food in miso soup. Mm-hmm. I mean, they yes. eat it every day.
Yes.
And I read a survey that said they, each family, let's see, how does it go? Per household, annually, 362 bowls.
Oh my.
Of miso.
Yeah.
Wow. Per okay. family. So, all right. And their families are fairly small, you know, so they're eating it every day, you know, that's a lot.
How fun.
And then I wanted to talk too about what do you think the most popular soups are in the world?
In the world.
Like
I
what
tell you in Turkey.
Yeah.
What is in Turkey?
It's called tarhana.
Uh-huh.
So it's a fermented soup. And
and your ferments.
So they make a dough mm-hmm. with yogurt, flour or semolina, usually mm-hmm. flour, I believe. And then they add vegetables like tomatoes, red peppers, onions, and a bunch of other herbs and spices. And then after they make the dough, they create these little, what do you call it? Like
a dumpling?
You kind of open it.
Like a ravioli?
Almost like. And then, okay. and then you let it dry.
Oh,
like a shell.
So the dough gets dried out.
So it's sort of usually, like a pasta.
Yeah, almost yeah. like, yeah, yeah, yeah. So you almost like, it's almost mm-hmm. like pasta. And then you put it, usually they dry it under the sun.
Mm.
That's when it gets fermented with the yogurt and mm-hmm. the sun and everything. And then when it's completely dried, then they make this powder. So they either put it in, now they put it in food processors, but back in the days, you know, they were using
mortar pestles
to make them like powder. And then they put it in airtight jars.
Yeah.
And then all winter long, that's what they make the soup out of. So they just, yeah, so it's the powder, and then you mix the powder with any kind of broth you want. You can add other stuff in it. You can just eat like that. And it is like, it's like the staple in every winter in Turkish kitchens and Turkish homes.
What does it look like in a clear bowl? Is it?
It's orange.
Is it? Okay.
It's orange. Yeah.
All right.
It's orange.
Oh, I want some of that. So do you make it? You made it?
I actually bought the powder from Koza, mm-hmm. And they have it really good brands. And so I bought them and I put them in my freezer so it doesn't go bad.
Wow.
So I keep it in my freezer in an airtight container. And so whenever, like during the winter, I make it. We just made it this week. like I think 2 days ago I made it. And yeah, so and then I add my oregano, like, you know, additional and sometimes this time I've seen another recipe that somebody actually in the broth they put yogurt. In the soup too. So and then I was like oh yeah, and it actually made it much more creamier.
I bet it did.
So good.
Oh, yum.
Oh, it was it's so good. And then you make a butter, mint and like a paprika powder or a spicy urfa pepper. You kind of burn your butter a little, not burn but like brown your butter a little bit and then you put that on top of the soup. Right before you take it off of the heat. Oh, it's an incredible soup. And you can make so many things out of it.
Spell the name of it, please.
Tarhana. Tarhana.
T-A-R-H-A-N-A. Just like it sounds. Tarhana.
Is it... I have more questions. Is it opaque? Like, can you see through it?
No.
Oh, it's thick.
Because it's yogurt based.
Oh, it is. Yeah. It is opaque.
It's yogurt. It's because it's a dough made with yogurt and flour. So when it's cooked, it's
plus you're saying
it's
orange.
Not clear.
Yeah.
And orange is because of the red peppers and tomatoes in it.
Makes
sense. Yeah.
All right.
And they also put lots of spices in there, like the paprikas. And so it's a delicious
soup. That sounds great.
I'll bring you some for you guys to make
it
too.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. I should have thought about it to bring it to show. I didn't even.
Well,
I thought we would think about talk about like different soup, and I'm like, I'll bring it up about Tarhana, and I'm like. Why didn't I bring it? I know.
I don't know.
Thank you for that.
Well, I'll bring it. Well, we can do that another time. But thank you.
I love that.
I would guess chicken noodle if it was an American.
Well, that's an American. American would be chicken noodle. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but really, there's sort of ties depending. It's like there is no one favorite best selling world soup.
Okay.
But the top soups are the first is borscht.
Oh,
yeah.
Sure. Okay.
I mean, borscht. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then pho.
Okay.
Oh, because everybody's eating pho now, you know.
Yeah.
Then miso is another one.
Sure.
Then Thai soups.
Okay.
Like tom yum.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, tom yum.
I know.
Yeah.
Tom kha kai.
Damn.
And then here's an interesting thing. You know, we were talking the other day, Celine, about the difference between soup and stew.
Yeah.
And that stew is if you have to eat it with a fork or a spoon.
Or fork, yeah.
And a soup is if you can drink it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
From a cup.
And I read a quote by a little boy that said, oh, well, the difference between soup and stew is that soup is when there is not enough food in it.
Love it.
It's too runny.
So cute.
Yeah, it was really cute.
Good way to remember.
Yeah.
But interestingly enough, Hungarian goulash is soup. And I was reading an article written by a Hungarian woman. She was talking about Hungarian goulash, and I love Hungarian goulash.
Me too.
I've never had it as soup. And she said, but when you say Hungarian goulash, you're talking, the Americans are talking about a hearty, more stewy kind of thing. And she's a Hungarian, and to her, it's a soup. It's a much more brothy, lighter rendition of the same ingredients, but it's not thick. Like we like it, you know? So the stew is called porcote. And they eat it with, you know, sour cream and all that good stuff in their soup. So I guess soup is a matter of definition as well, you know, depending on your interpretation of it.
I think soup and stew is so close that, you know.
Yeah, not really, though, you know, because stew
to
me
is. Your soul. Both
do. In that regard, yes.
Your soul.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I want to tell you something. I want to tell you about soup spoons.
Sure.
You know, in the beginning of time, people drank their soup. They always drank their soup. And for centuries, that's how you ate your soup. It was presented in a bowl and you drank it. And then in the 1700s, fashion changed that notion.
Okay.
And the fashion, if you think back about in France, you think about the French fashion in the 1700s, it was those big high collars and all that great big hair and those big satin dresses and all the bodices and the laces and the, they couldn't get the soup bowl to their mouth. And it was without ruining their beautiful ruffles and
leaning
their heads over, you know, to lean over and drink that their heads were too heavy with that great big hair. And so the French invented the soup spoon. They've invented a way to eat soup so you didn't have to drink it out of a bowl.
And then not ruin your fancy dress.
Right.
Oh my gosh.
Isn't
that's
that
so
interesting?
Cute.
I mean, who knew?
I did not know that was the reason.
But I want to talk about some more favorite soups too.
All right.
According to Campbell's, really Campbell's is the king of soups. They're the top selling soup, at least in America. The second is Progresso, and third is Amy's.
Amy's came up in the world quickly.
Really? She did. Yeah. She, it, I don't know.
Yeah, they.
Is Amy is Amy a person? I don't know.
I'll find out.
I don't know. But find out if Amy's a real person. So in the Northeast and in California, so in the Northeast United States, so that would be like Maine and up in there, and California, the favorite is chicken noodle.
Okay.
And then in the South, and in the mid of the country, those people prefer cream of chicken or cream of mushroom soup.
Totally calks out.
It does, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, and all those hot dishes with cream of mushroom soup.
Yep.
And then
and pork chop bathed
and
in
a
it.
Pork chop. And there are people that make Swedish meatballs with cream of mushroom soup.
Oh, wow.
Okay, interesting.
Okay, so then in Pennsylvania and Vermont, they show a strong preference for tomato soup.
Mm.
And that just makes sense to me when you think about people from there, you know?
Yeah.
You get a little pinch-lipped.
They're so funny. Amy's is a real person. It's the daughter of the company's founders.
Oh.
Out of Petaluma, California.
Okay.
Andy and Rachel Berliner. There you go.
Wow. Oh, so Amy's a real person.
Yep.
Well, I don't know what else we want to talk about. You know,
was there a favorite for the Pacific Northwest?
Probably, but I didn't see it.
I'm thinking
I didn't
clam
look it up.
Chowder.
I would think it would be clam chowder.
That's
you know,
ooh,
probably
clam chowder.
And you know, like the soup Nazi in New York said, he never used canned clams ever, and he used three kinds of clams in his clam chowder. So nobody can claim anything about clam chowder except him.
Okay, then.
Of course. So
that's a lot of labor when you think about it to do it, unless he got them already, just the clam meat. That's a lot of work.
Yeah.
Maybe he just got clam meat.
Probably. I would hope so.
Well, you know, you can get just oyster meat.
Yeah.
So that's probably what he did. Yeah.
The soup.
Because that's a lot of.
Yeah. And I just want to, the soup market in the United States is a $4.7 billion industry.
Wow.
Goodness.
$4.7 billion for canned soup. And the trends now are changing for 2026. The trends are changing. Mm. And the authentic soups are coming into fashion now, like good canned Asian soups and good canned Latin soups. And kimchi.
Absolutely. Yes.
So as our world becomes more turbulent with travel and everybody's getting more experienced, you know, we taste something that we love somewhere else and it's coming here. Another trend is, I don't know if you, I have my son and their wives, love spicy food, like spicy. They have collections of those bottles of hell.
Oh,
I mean, oh my God, you know, like devil's crotch hot sauce or something. I mean, it's terrible stuff.
Lovely.
But they like it. And that is a trend in that age range. And so now it's evolving into layered profiles. Soup is evolving into layered profiles, like spicy soy maple or spicy miso honey soup.
Interesting.
Which
sweet and hot.
Okay. Yeah. Sweet and hot. And then what's happening now too is that home cooks are just saying, "Oh, I'm going to put a little of this in there." And so there's this whole thing that's happening.
They've been hanging around Celine's kitchen.
Yeah, they're inventing things. And there's a high interest in soups that feature prebiotics and probiotics and high fiber.
Yes. And I think the kimchi phase rage is part of that too.
Yeah, for sure.
Fermentation.
Oh gosh. Yeah. And the botanicals.
Sure.
The elderflowers and dandelions and lavender and soups. So, and then there's this new term that I had never heard of. It's called grandma core.
Oh,
what?
Sure.
Grandma, like grandma, your grandmother core, C-O-R-E.
Okay.
Which is consumers leaning into the warm sort of grounding foods that like grandma used to make, like bone broth. So we just talked about bone broth.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there's something called Nostalgia Dreamland. Excuse me. Which is brands that are creating riffs on childhood favorites, like Campbell's beer flavored soups or fantastical flavor mashups. That make you think of escaping or make you think of a movie. They're coming up with all kinds of new names. And
I bet the soup market has had some evolution and they need to.
They're doing it now. Yeah, it's I mean, we don't really see the reflection of it on the shelves yet, but this is the research that's going on and this is what the trends are.
So that's cool. Interesting. Yeah, that's good.
And the packaging in 2026 is moving more toward monomaterial structures, which is compostable. And something called sachet packaging, which is compact single serving sachets. Like the miso that you were talking about from Uwajimaya. And everything freeze dried. Lots of wonderfully freeze dried vegetables. And soups that you can make soup out of freeze dried stuff now. Yeah. So, you know, that's all changing.
We have a big can of freeze dried vegetables that you can make soup of,
and they're pretty good.
And then I have some ramen toppings. They're all like nice.
That's it.
Right? Yeah.
The stuff we have to.
I think it was you, Heidi, who told me about, you know, sometimes when you want, you warm up your chicken broth and then you put ramen noodles.
Mm-hmm.
Was it you or maybe one of our other?
No, but I would.
Yeah, but I would too.
Maybe it was one of our guests, and they said that, you know, I just put like a ramen noodles and a chicken broth, and then that's like my comfort food. I'm like,
and it's
then
so
good. I bought ramen noodles just that, so that it's not the you know those crazy bottom bok with the tons of sodium. It's just the ramen noodles,
just the noodles,
and then now that he's making bone broth or birra.
You're super spoiled.
Birria consomme.
Birria.
And they're in the freezer, so I put them in there and I put that. And then we got those freeze-dried vegetables.
Mm-hmm. They're
put
so in fun.
They are fun.
So good. Yeah.
Nori.
So easy, too.
Oh, yeah.
So easy, too.
Yeah.
So,
flavorful, too.
Mm-hmm. There's a... How much time do we have?
We have a couple minutes. 2.5.
Yeah. So...
Our souls are warmed up.
I know.
All that soup.
And now I want some soup. I'd like to ask you guys if you've heard of the soup Nazi. Do you know about this?
Soup legendary. Nazi.
No soup for you.
Yeah, ding, 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 ding.
You know, for those of you who may not know, the soup Nazi and you know, it has nothing to do with what's going on now or World War II. And the gentleman was not a Nazi, he was called a Nazi because he was very firm in how he made his soup and who ate it and how you asked for it and what you said when you were standing in line. And he this is New York City, of course, and he would throw people out of his restaurant. Because they said the wrong thing. He was somebody that I would be afraid of, I think.
Oh, yeah.
But
to quote
him, I'd like to quote him a little bit. His name is Albert Yagenya. Y-E-G-A-N-E-H. And it's Armenian, and I apologize for my slaughtering his name. But he was known for, as the famous Seinfeld episode portrayed, which we can talk about in a minute, but I want to just quote this little thing for you.
Yeah.
He says, "I am not prejudiced against color or religion. Whoever follows that I treat well. My regular customers don't say anything. They're very intelligent and well-educated. They know I'm just trying to move the soup. The New York cop is very smart. He sees everything but says nothing. But the young girl who wants to stop and tell how nice you look and hold everyone up? Ah! And he makes a guillotine motion with his hand. I tell you, I hate to work with the public. They treat me like a slave. My philosophy, the customer's always wrong and I'm always right.
Boom.
And that's a direct quote from him. No soup for you. So
that's so perfect.
He's an icon, and his store is closed now. Well, it's a store, actually. Now it's a retail environment, and he has gone into the retail business, so he has canned soups in the same location in New York City, but no soup line anymore. So, well, I guess I'm hearing some music in the background.
That means
boat hook.
What do you think that means?
We're out of time.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. It's been really fun. And thank you, Heidi. Thank you, Celine.
Thank you, Linda.
Yes, it's been really fun. And we'll see you in a couple of weeks.
You're listening to KVSH LP Vashon, your listener-supported island connection.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.